President of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. They're telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Hey guys, I want to let you know that we're taking subscriptions for our membership section of Ground Zero Plus, and we will honor Aftermath subscribers based on whatever plan they had before. For new members, it's $10 a month and $95 a year. That was decided upon during our meeting with the listeners, so they're very good with that. And so right now, though, previous Ground Zero shows are free until we have our official membership launch. It's going to be happening on April Fool's Day, April 1st. Of course, that's Ground Zero's official 30th birthday. We'll also be having our drawing for five people who donated to our GoFundMe. You can do that, if you wish, by going to the Ground Zero Plus site. It'll give you links. Plus, on the Ground Zero Facebook page, there are links that are tacked to the top. All roads lead to groundzeroplus.com, though, if you want to have any questions answered about, you know, what it is that you need to do. Sign up now. Also, there was some interesting news today about the dollar, about recession, and we're going to be doing a Clyde webinar this weekend, March 15th, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific time, and that's going to be a gold and silver webinar with Alan Johnson and a few other people as well. So join us, clydewebinar.com. That's clydewebinar.com. Just go there and sign up. It's free, and there's also more opportunities to win or do whatever. Because we're very grateful and happy as to how things are going right now, because we were worried about the transition, how abrupt it was, and how it was something that was out of our control. But we are really appreciative of the listeners and what they've been doing. We're really appreciative of Chris in the UK. Also, Jackie, we thank you for your help today. Somebody from the Ground Zero original subscriber chat, we're glad for her. We are grateful to her. We're just grateful all over for people who want to be representatives, who want to be angels, who want to be heroes. Be a Ground Zero hero. Go to groundzeroplus.com, groundzeroplus.com. Okay, so back when Stargate was first proposed by the Trump administration, I remember I had a lot of people coming to me saying, "Clyde, why are they calling it Stargate? Why are they calling it Stargate? We all know what Stargate is, right? Project Stargate." A lot of people who are new to the world of conspiracy theory and cover-ups, I will give you a lowdown here. The original Stargate project, or Project Stargate, was a clandestine U.S. government program, and it involved the CIA, also the DIA. And what they did with the Stargate program is that they investigated the potential of psychic phenomena, particularly remote viewing, for intelligence gathering operating from the 1970s to around 1995. They also did telekinetic and telepathic research. They did mind control research. They did all kinds of, there was stuff that they did at Montauk and several other places. So Think of this. Think of it. This is exactly the way it was. There was a group of highly trained individuals called remote viewers. They're sitting in a dimly lit room. They're attempting to see distant locations, hidden nuclear facilities, or even trying to bring into their mind the idea of enemy agents, Russian, you know, operatives and things like that. So the project ran for about 20 years. It was fueled by the belief that the human mind could transcend the limits of space and time. That's why they called it Stargate. And it produced some intriguing stories like the alleged discovery of a Soviet submarine using psychic means. And, of course, there are other stories, too. It inspired movies like The Men Who Stared at Goats. I don't know if you remember that movie. It was kind of a comedy. And, of course, the TV show Stranger Things was about remote viewing as well. Eleven was a remote viewer, if you remember. Yet, the name Stargate is a name that hasn't gone away, even though they say the programs would shut down. Stargate is lingered. Stargate is now, the idea of Stargate being a Stargate into other galaxies, into other worlds, into another dimension. We had a military sci-fi media franchise, multiple films, multiple TV shows, longest running TV show that I know of science fiction next to Doctor Who, video games, comic books, and unintendedly the term became a moniker. It was all about the impossible, a gateway to realms beyond our understanding. That's what a Stargate project is. It is a gateway to realms beyond our understanding. Some people call CERN a Stargate. Other experiments with what's going on in China are called Stargates. But the new Stargate project, it also seems to have a connection now. People are saying, Clyde, there's got to be a connection to the original Stargate project. Can you find it? Can you find it? I found it, by the way. It was just the second day of the presidency. The second presidency of Donald Trump, second term, second day. Donald Trump came forward and he says, I'm going to launch the new Stargate project. He said, this is the largest AI infrastructure project in history. Okay. Nothing like its paranormal predecessor. This is something that is firmly rooted in the digital age, aiming to push the boundaries of artificial intelligence and infrastructure. They're collaborating with the U.S. government, tech giants, private investors. They want to start with the investment of $100 billion that may rise to $500 billion by 2029. It tends to revolutionize everything from data centers to electricity grids. That's their project idea. SoftBank is said to be taking up the financial responsibility of the project with other initial equity funders like OpenAI, Oracle, MGX. OpenAI apparently is going to carry out the operational responsibility alongside key initial technology partners like Microsoft, NVIDIA, Oracle. You know the names. It's just that they're all being put together for this one project. And at its core, the Stargate project is about creating infrastructure needed to support the next generation of AI technologies or the Internet of Bodies. And this indicates that, well, it's just basically the development of massive data centers. They said there's going to be new data centers that are going to go up everywhere. They're going to be DNA data centers, other data centers powering the insatiable demands of AI systems because they're going to be fostering the innovation of AI research for everything, including surveillance and artificial general intelligence, which is a lot more. It's the next step up from AI. So the ambitions of Stargate go beyond just infrastructure. And it goes beyond just putting a stamp of approval on everything, well, our American dominance in the AI race. There's more to it. And I find it very interesting that, the original Stargate plans are back in the picture. But it's going to get really weird as I describe how it relates to the original Stargate program of remote viewing, telekinesis, and telepathy. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Stay tuned. You're getting a lot tonight. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. We'll be back. Clay Lewis. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So Project Stargate, back when Trump and Elon Musk announced that it was going to happen, I had a number of listeners say to me, Clyde, there's got to be something more to this. It's not just about AI. It's not just about AGI. It's something more to this, Clyde. You need to look into it. And that is, you know, that had set with me for a while. And I always say to myself, well, you know, if a listener challenges me to look into this, and you know, there's a connection to the original Stargate, Project Stargate, I mean, look, they say that it's all for infrastructure, but I'll tell you right now, the ambitions for Stargate now go beyond mere infrastructure. It's more than just stamping an American seal or putting the American flag of dominance in the global AI race. Now, you have to admit, if you're a person who listened to Art Bell or listened to any of these other shows back when Stargate and the remote viewing of it was popular, the talk of Montauk and other things, Stargate, the name, is intriguing because on one hand, it evokes a sense of grandeur and limitless possibility, much like the original project, or perhaps the Stargate Media Empire, which would be all the TV shows and comic books and everything else. But on the other hand, it carries the baggage of remote viewing. It creates, that's why I was asked. Clyde, there's got to be something more to this because of remote viewing, because of ESP, because of telepathy. And I thought, okay. I did some studying. I did some reading. And what they're doing now is, well, first, Stargate is something that is, first of all, we hear what they want to say about it, but it's very unknown. It's driven by a mix of curiosity. It's a mix of desperation. You know, they promise us stars. They promise us the future, but a lot of it's smoke and mirrors at the moment. But they're calling this, you know, the biggest thing since the Manhattan Project or the moonshot, okay? AGI, that's their holy grail. Not AI, but AGI. AGI is as elusive and poorly understood as psychic phenomena. Okay, that's one connection. Psychic phenomena back in the 1970s was just as misunderstood. Telepathy was misunderstood. Telekinesis was misunderstood. I think the best way to describe how we were exposed to telekinesis was the movie Carrie, Stephen King's story about the girl that was, you know, taunted when she was in high school. She ended up killing her fellow students with telepathy or for telekinesis. So AGI is a marketing dream. It has a tangible goal, but it's a buzzword. And they knew, I'm sure, that this would be a buzzword that people, of course, in our community, those who read about conspiracy theories and read about, you know, strange occurrences in history like Montauk and Stargate would know. It'd be a trigger word. They'd know exactly what this is. So the other day, I just want to use this as an example. The other day I was paying a bill and I had opted to use my bank account instead of my wife's because, well, it was an odd experience. Instead of offering my name, address, and phone number at the account, all they had to do was say my name, all my bank cards, everything, all my transactions over the years with this company. It was an insurance company. And I guess I shouldn't have been so shocked, but it just goes to show you how you can't really hide from a government and a world that is data hungry. When majorities think their personal data is less secure now, that data collection poses more risks than benefits, and believe it or not, it is possible to go through daily life without being tracked. Okay? But few and far between now. I mean, there are a lot of people that are thinking they're not being tracked or they're off the grid and they're being tracked. So it's now time, I think, to have a little paranoia here because the plan for the future, especially with Stargate, is to have more data centers all focused on every individual for full spectrum control, and there won't be any private lives anymore. And it's going to get even more invasive. But this is an intrusion that is far beyond anything we've seen. I have to warn you that this is a theory based on evidence, something big is underway with Stargate, and I think it has everything to do with Project Stargate and the original Stargate plan. See, the Stargate project is new, but it's based, the name is based on something else, okay? And right now, all we know about the new Stargate is that Project Stargate entails building AI data centers across the country, mRNA vaccines, all this stuff, and there's even, you know, we already have a mountain of data centers already being used to track and report all activities by you and me. I mean, we have one in Draper, Utah. There's roughly 6 in 10 U.S. adults say they don't think it's possible to go through a daily life without having data collected about them by companies or the government. So we live in a time where everything is data-driven. Products, services, often there is a data version of you, an algorithmic version of you that's out there. They monitor it. They know how to, you know, bring deals to you on the internet, save users time, money, even lead to better health and well-being. Still, a large share of U.S. adults are not convinced that they benefit from widespread data gathering. In fact, some 81% of the public say the potential risks they face because of data collection by companies outweigh the benefits, and 66% say the same about government data collection. And at the time that a majority of Americans were being, I think it was Pew Research that did this, they were concerned about how their data was being used by companies. About 79% were worried, 64% were wondering how they're using it for government, but most also feel they have little or no control over how these entities use their personal information, according to a new survey. Pew Research Center did the survey. Explores how Americans feel about the state of privacy of the nation. There are a mountain of concerns about digital privacy extending to those who collect, store, and use their personal information. Additionally, we have many people in the public that are not confident that corporations are good stewards of data they collect. So the amount of data the government needs is vast. It's multifaceted. It comes to everything from census data to tax records to national security information and law enforcement records, all used for various purposes like policymaking, service delivery, national security. The government collects data through administrative records, IRS, Census Bureau stuff, social welfare programs, car registration, ID registration, national security registrations, organizations. So the government is increasingly focused on making data available to the public through initiatives like data.gov. But even as the public expresses worry about various aspects of their digital privacy and their data, many Americans acknowledge that they are not always diligent about paying attention to the privacy policies and terms of service that they regularly encounter on the internet. In fact, 97% of Americans say that they're ever asked to approve privacy policies, yet only about 1 in 5 adults overall say they always, well, 9%, 13%, they say that they read the company's privacy policy before agreeing to it. Some 38% of all adults maintain they sometimes read such policies, but 36% say they never read a company's privacy policy before agreeing to it. So, first of all, we have all of these data centers. Why do we need them and for what? We already got data centers watching us like hawks. They know everything about us, but they need to know more. What is it they know? Well, this is where the Stargate Project promises in their mission to provide AI and AGI for the benefit of all humanity. They believe that this new step is critical on the path and will enable creative people to figure out how to use AI to elevate humanity. But the question is, why is there a focus on new data centers? What is the reason we need new data centers? Well, keeping up with the word Project Stargate, investigating all of the things that are entailing this interesting new projection. The answer, my friends, is very dark. The hunger for data knows no bounds, and this is even deeper than we realize. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
All of the data, and
all of the truth, right?
As more data becomes available, then we can start doing more with it. And as we do more with it, that creates more data.
My algorithmic me.
Psychological
assessment.
Computational inference.
My
algorithmic me.
Who
I am.
Pretty good chance this is a low-risk person. No chance they're going to commit a violent crime. You know, they may do some shoplifting or maybe some drug possession. But chances are they're going to be fine.
Ground Zero. Project Stargate. Many of us remember it being a remote viewing project carried out by the intelligence agencies. And back when it was first announced during the second day of the Donald Trump presidency, and what was it going to be about AI and cancer cures and all these other breakthroughs, and also data centers that they would set up. Somebody had said to me, Clyde, there's more to it than that. Tell me what it is. Okay. Because Stargate is a very powerful word because of what it represented back in the 70s and 90s. It's inspired several TV shows. It's inspired movies. It inspired the TV show Stranger Things. And it's all dealing with telepathy, telekinesis, remote viewing, and basically using technology to experiment on young minds to get them to actually spy using their minds, spying on other people. So I was going through my head about the data centers, why we need all these data centers, trying to do investigation into the Stargate name and going back and checking all of the boxes about Stargate, about telepathy and mental stuff and remote viewing. And then I realized something. Data is something that these guys want for full spectrum control. And your location history, your browsing history, browsing data and communications are not enough to satisfy the surveillance economy. Tech companies are going to use Project Stargate to seek data from your mind and body. Using Project Stargate, just like it was in the past, a way to look into the minds of individuals, giving them the opportunity to remote view, use telekinesis and telepathy. Now, we know that billions of dollars right now are being spent on building these devices, creating the infrastructure that will track our biological signals. But in the next few years, biosensors will be small enough to be easily worn and gather a wide range of data. Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, and you can look this up. Neuralink now has filed applications with the United States Patent and Trademark Office to exclusively own the names telepathy and telekinesis. He's also have other names like Blindsight, all being registered patents, the trademark offices of the United States. Telepathy and telekinesis was something they used during the original Stargate program. So why are they copywriting telepathy, telekinesis? Why are they patenting it? Why is it a patent? Why is it a trademark? I see that the trademark was filed on March 3rd, 2025. A lot of terms, groundbreaking terms, telepathy, and that, if you want to look it up, serial number 9906-3908, and telekinesis. Now, these filings were made on an intent-to-use basis indicating the company's active development of products under these names. The telepathy trademark is described as an implantable brain. Well, let's see, it says here, look at the trademark. Okay, trademark described as an implantable brain to computer interface for facilitating communication and control of software and hardware. Let me read that again. An implantable brain to computer interface for facilitating communication and control of software and hardware. It's a brain computer interface. A significant step towards commercializing Neuralink's brain-computer interface technology, and it's going to expand beyond medical applications to consumer products. The telepathy trademark application says is a revolutionary implantable brain-computer interface designed to facilitate communication and control of software and hardware through thought alone. Telepathy is going to be designed as a computer-to-brain, implantable brain-computer interface that will facilitate the use of communication and control software and hardware through thought alone. Meaning you walk up to a computer and you want to go online, you just think it and it'll go online. Telepathy, again, a brain-to-computer interface implantable for facilitating communication and control of software and hardware. Think it into existence. Just like Stargate. Remote view, ESP, telepathy, ESP, all that remote viewing stuff. This is now about your brain again. This is now about the ambition of Stargate to go beyond medical applications. Literally enabling telepathic communication, not just with electronic devices, but possibly between humans with Neuralink implants. Meaning you can read minds. Meaning they'll be able to use this technology for remote viewing, use this technology for ESP, telekinesis, and other things. Let's see here. Telekinesis application, Neuralink's trademark. Okay. Plans to develop technology that could allow users to control physical objects using only their thoughts. Wow. So, this is straight out of science fiction, but it aligns with the company's broader vision of expanding human capabilities through brain-computer interfaces, obviously. And again, much like the original Project Stargate. And the potential applications for all of this technology are vast, ranging from assistive devices for individuals with mobility impairments and advances in industrial automation and robotics. Telekinesis, telepathy technologies, all patented, just like the original Project Stargate, but this time using the Internet of Bodies and data centers throughout the United States. Very ambitious, very creepy and dark. It's not just they want to control your habits of surfing the Internet. They want your brain. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Thank you.
reason why they're calling Stargate a modern-day moonshot. Because the holy grail of AGI is your soul. The holy grail of AGI is to chip you and give you the opportunity to be telepathic or have telekinesis. Being able to move things with your mind, being able to read other people's minds. Mostly, though, I believe it's to read the computer mind or have the computer read your mind. And we know that AGI now is elusive, is poorly understood. But, of course, so was psychic phenomena back in the 1970s. So was remote viewing in the 1970s. And think of all the money. That's why $500 billion has to be put forward. And that is to find that holy grail. Elon Musk tweeted, they don't actually have the money. SoftBank is well under 100. He says, SoftBank is well under $10 billion secured. I have that on good authority, despite what Musk had said. Money's not the problem. It's not necessarily what you have, but what you're good for that counts. So the Stargate project, with this ambitious vision and high-profile backers, is going to capture the attention of the tech world, and they look at all the possibilities, and hopefully the Project Stargate will deliver on its promises. And that's the future, guys. I used to tell people, in fact, I remember Sarah Limos. Remember her? She's the psychic that works with Ozzy Osbourne. She's been on the show many times. Sarah Limos, I had told her, I said, I think most people, I say that to every psychic, I think a lot of people are psychic. I think a lot of people are telepathic. I think they really stop and listen. Because they got so much noise going around, they don't take the time to stop and listen to their conscience. They don't have time to stop. And the brain gives out all these signals, whether forward or reverse or whatever. And we've shown that with David John Oates and his metaphors and the things that are said. So many things going on in the brain all at once. How do you have a chip or an interface like Stargate that's going to be able to interface with a computer, interface with other mindsets, other chip people, you'll be able to read their minds? With the same chip, you'll be able to move objects with your own mind. Okay. Very ambitious. Very ambitious. Now, it sounds crazy, right? You have two distinct facets here. We have one that is beneficial. And then you have this one that I'm talking about. I'm sure a lot of people out there are skeptical about what I'm saying. Of course, they're going to build AI infrastructure. That's the whole point. They're going to create the data centers. They're going to create energy grids. They're going to do advanced computing hardware. That's all for the continued growth of AI technology. That's basic. But see, and that's necessary because we are going into a time where we're going to be relying heavily on the electric grid. But the second facet where I'm talking about, this murky, dark area where they want your soul, this is a pursuit of AGI. And with all the hype surrounding AGI, there's little consensus on what it actually is and what it does, whether it can be achieved or if it should be achieved. Some have likened the push for AGI to selling snake oil. Others say it's like opening Pandora's box or summoning Satan. In fact, I think it was Musk himself that said it was like summoning Satan, but yet he's doing this. So these parallels between the old and new Stargate projects, thank you guys, really, for giving me the challenge to find these connections. I mean, they're hard to ignore now. Telekinesis, telepathy, synthetic telepathy. I mean, everything's driven by the desire to achieve the impossible. That's what they're, whether it's unlocking the secrets of the human mind or creating machines that can think like humans. But see, that's the thing, is the fuel there, the ambition, the fear and the allure of technological supremacy here in the United States and beyond. And as this new Stargate project takes shape, it's worth reflecting on the lessons of the previous Project Stargate. For all its flaws, the original Stargate was a relatively low-cost experiment that ultimately did little harm to people. At least so we know. I mean, I don't know what they did to the kids. Some say they were being tortured. Some say that they were being treated poorly. But this new Stargate system, that's a different beast. Okay, this is a different beast altogether. $500 billion price tag. It represents a significant investment of resources that could be used to address pressing global challenges like poverty and health care. But with this new technology, they'll be able to know everything. They'll be able to know when you went to the bathroom last. They'll be able to know when you have eaten last. They'll remind you of that. They'll give you an alert if you're not eating enough good food. They'll give you an alert if you're having your blood sugar goes up or whatever. This is something to think about. You can only hope that Stargate delivers on its promises. Otherwise, it's just going to be another footnote in history of money being wasted and ambitions being wasted on futile endeavors. But the connection is there now. They've made the connection known with their patent application. Who knew that you could patent telepathy and telekinesis? As the Trump presidency unfolds, the Trump presidency that is behind this, the success or failure of the Stargate project will become a litmus test for the administration's ability to turn bold visions into reality. Promises given, promises kept. And the new name Stargate, or the name Stargate, can be a blessing and can be a curse. I mean, it carries the weight of history, a reminder of the fine line between ambition and being stupid. Whether this new project becomes a gateway to the future or a bridge to nowhere remains to be seen. But this one thing is certain, the stakes have never been higher for this. And again, finding that it was such a, I don't know how to put it, a relief maybe, or maybe it was not much of a surprise that I was able to do this. The listeners gave me a challenge. Find that connection, Clyde. Find the connection between the original Stargate program and the new Stargate program. And I saw it, and it was telekinesis and telepathy, but this time artificially produced with a computer chip in the brain. Now the question is, would you like to be able to read people's minds? Would you take a chip so you could read people's minds? Would you take a chip that would have you able to move things with your mind? Especially moving pages on the internet or moving your phone without touching it. I mean, these are things that, I mean, that's how it's going to start, right? It's going to start with you staring at the screen, and instead of using your finger to touch a mouse or using your finger to move the screen, you just look at it, you move your eyes, and it changes to the next page. You see something you want moved, and if it's part of the Internet of Things, if it's part of the Internet of Bodies, then you can move it with your mind. You can turn it on with your mind. You can turn on your TV with the mind. You can turn on your video games with your mind. Is this something that you'd like? Is this something cool? Do you think this would be a great, great toy? Or do you think it's just one more way of them stealing your cognitive liberty? Would love to hear from you tonight. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
The madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
Numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I told you many times on this program that, you know, Cold War conspiracy theory is far superior to conspiracy theory today. Because it's so cool. You know, you had so much cloak and dagger stuff going on that, you know, you could find cover-ups everywhere, you find conspiracies everywhere. And now history has shown that many of these conspiracies and cover-ups have a lot of facts behind them. Now, today, there are a lot of people that use conspiracy theory as a you know, pejorative, as you're stupid or whatever. No. Cold War conspiracy is why I'm in the whole racket, right? I'm not saying it's a racket. I'm just saying I'm in the whole business of this because of Cold War conspiracy theory. My father used to tell me all types of Cold War conspiracy theory, because in the shadowy corridors of the Cold War era America, there was espionage and secrecy, and that Trump diplomacy. The U.S. government was involved in so many bizarre missions. Reverse engineering UFOs, that was one. And then, of course, there were other bizarre missions that were going on, anything like MKUltra, mind control groups. Whether or not they were responsible for Charles Manson, whether or not it was Sirhan that was under the control of MKUltra when he allegedly shot RFK. And what about Oswald and what he did with JFK? See, all these things are just, this Cold War stuff is just amazing to me. But there was a mission that they embarked on. Besides MKUltra, it was straight out of this, you know, it was just straight out of, like, I don't know, Manchurian Candidate type stuff. You know, that's also part of the Cold War stuff. It was called the Stargate Project. Yeah, you've heard of the Stargate Project? That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one from, you know, the 70s into the 90s, but mostly as far back as 77, when the U.S. Army and other intelligence agencies were using soldiers. I think they were called the First Earth Battalion or the Rainbow Battalion, and they were being used to explore psychic abilities and their potential use in intelligence gathering and counter-surveillance. They called it remote viewing. They called it telekinesis. So the Stargate Project investigated remote viewing, where individuals claim to be able to perceive events or locations from a distance. Telepathy and telekinesis, which was tested in experiments like the one in Stranger Things, the TV show. Eleven is asked to kill a cat with her mind. Eleven is asked to spy on Russian soldiers with her mind. And so the experiments on Eleven's telepathic and psychic abilities at Hawkins Lab in Stranger Things mirror the real-life Stargate Project's focus on psychic phenomena. Then you fast forward to 2025, and the name Stargate resurfaced. And it was the second day of Trump's presidency, Elon Musk and a group of other Silicon Valley oligarchs get together and they say, "Hey, we have this idea for Project Stargate." And everybody's going, why are they calling it Project Stargate? There's got to be a connection to remote viewing. There's got to be a connection to telepathy and what was going on back in the day. And I thought, I can't find anything yet. I was challenged by listeners. You got to find a connection. I love challenges and I love puzzles and I love working on things like this. And so I was kind of working on that over the weekend. Going back to what the Stargate Project promises, basically they wanted to provide AI and advanced general intelligence, artificial general intelligence, for the benefit of all humanity. They say that their project and their infrastructure is a critical step, or it's a critical walk on the path that will enable creative people to figure out how to use AI to elevate humanity. So people with creative minds, intuitive minds, they want those minds. They want your soul. They want that from you. But the question is, you know, there were a lot of things that were asked of us. There was a $500 billion monies that were put up. They said they were going to put it up because they wanted to build data centers all across the country. They wanted to be able to have an mRNA vaccine with, you know, nanoparticles they could use to cure cancer. These are all the things that are in the package, right? And I thought, well, that has nothing to do with the original Stargate plans. Has nothing to do with what they did Stargate back in the 70s and into the 90s. But see, fortunes are being built spending tons of money on devices and infrastructure. They're going to track your biology signals, your biological signals. And in the next few years, we're going to be seeing biosensors that are going to be small enough to easily be worn or inserted, or, you know, just a wide range of data being collected about your health. And Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, and this is where the connection to the old Stargate begins, he filed applications with the United States Patent and Trademark Office to exclusively own the names Telepathy, Telekinesis, and others for emerging tech products within Stargate. Interesting. Trademarking telepathy and telekinesis within the structure of the new Stargate program. On March 3rd, 2025, Neuralink filed trademark applications for several groundbreaking terms, including telepathy serial number 99063908. That's 99063908, and telekinesis. And these filings were made on an intent-to-use basis, indicating the company's active deployment of products under these names. The telepathy trademark is described as an implantable brain-to-computer interface for facilitating communication and control of software and hardware. This is another way they're going to be able to commercialize Neuralink's brain-computer interface technology, potentially expanding beyond medical applications into consumer products. Then they have the telepathy trademark, which is an application. In the application, it just describes a revolutionary implantable brain-computer interface that will be designed or is designed to facilitate communication and control of software and hardware through thought. Think it and it shall happen, right? So, Neuralink's technology, we all heard about the brain implant that he's invented and that it's helped people move, give them movement. It collects neuro signals and software that translates these signals into cursor movements on a computer screen. So you can use your mind to move a cursor. But this is going to go beyond this medical application. This is going to be electronic devices that can be used on humans, with humans, to read minds and to move things with your mind. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Stargate. Clyde, this has got to have a darker meaning to it, because you just don't name something Stargate, especially when they used it for remote viewing and telekinesis. And I said, maybe just they want to forget about that and just give it a whole new varnish and hopefully nobody remembers. But then I started seeing some things that are pointing to the idea of what they truly want to do with Stargate. They want to use technology to read your mind. They want to use technology so that you can use your mind to move things, that you can use your mind to read other people's minds. That is amazing. And it's all done with an implantable brain-computer interface. It's there as a communication tool between you and someone else who may have the chip. Who needs texting when you just think to each other? You can stand there and sit with each other and think to one another. Telekinesis, artificial telepathy. I mean, there's a lot of course, specific details about the technology that remains undisclosed, but it builds upon what they've already talked about with the existing brain-computer interface system. This system includes the Link implant and the N1 electrode array that could potentially be adapted to interpret neural signals associated with intended movements and translate them into commands for external devices. So Neuralink continues to refine its technology. We just don't talk about it as much, but that quarter-sized implant they put in that guy's head, it's now promising to reshape how humans interact with their physical environment. And it all sounds like a futuristic mind toy. And everyone thinks it's going to be cool to have artificial telepathy. It's going to be cool to have the ability to move objects with your mind. But it's all part of this future shock that's awaiting us. This is all part of the conspiracy to create an internet of bodies, a term that was created by the RAND Corporation. After World War II, RAND redirected military minds towards defense research, shaping policies around nuclear weapons, defense strategies, satellites, technology, and beyond. Today, RAND research branches out to health, education, and social research. The RAND Corporation always seems to be ahead of the curve, releasing research reports that anticipate and inform us on the development of world-changing technology like satellites, networks, computer networks, the internet, artificial intelligence, all that. But in 2020, there was a report titled The Internet of Bodies. RAND researchers predict the future will be full of internet-connected medical devices tracking our health data in real time. RAND research classified Internet of Bodies devices, they called them this. They said anything that contains software or computing capabilities communicated with the internet, collected person-generated health or biometric data, or could alter the human body's function mentally and physically. Anything that could alter the human body's function mentally and physically. Isn't altering the body for telepathic broadcasts or telekinetic broadcasts something that would be altering your body's brain function? I mean, every Internet of Bodies device conducts biosurveillance continuously, and they collect health data, and it's broadcasting remotely to analyze behaviors and intervene if it's needed. It's crazy. That's the future. That's the Internet of Bodies. Rob in North Carolina, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Good.
I was looking at the aspect. You're going back into Hollywood here again with it basically predicting the future and making the future is what's happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the 1970s, Michael Crichton, specifically the novel, The Terminal Man, where they were implanting, you know, he saw operations where they were implanting electrodes into a person's brain and try to help them, you know, through their issues with their mental health or whatever was going on that level. Well, there comes the novel that he wrote, come about to the point to where they implanted this electrodes in his brain, basically our system,
mm-hmm.
and the dopamine levels, you know, increased and make him feel good because he was having seizures and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he found out how to get the seizures better as far as the dopamine levels, so he could do it all his time. Then he turned into a murderous rampage. But they ended up, you know, eventually killing him at the end of the whole aspect of it. But it links in with cyberpuncture, you know, linking in with the AI and all the other stuff together with that. Mm-hmm. These two things linked up in that same synapsis. And you look at another thing about Hollywood, like on Star Trek Voyager, the Borg Collective.
Yeah.
If that's not a Neuralink, you know, society, I mean, what is?
Well, I agree with you. And that's the problem that I have right now with the mindset of AI and the Internet of Bodies. What we have here is we have in Star Trek, we have a division, okay? And that division is the Borg and Data, okay?
Right.
And Data is the robot that is being used for help, and he's there to do analysis for the Enterprise and all these other things. And he wants to be more human. He has the desire. It's like a Pinocchio story. He has the desire to be more human. But still, we're able to use Data as a friend, companion, and an intellectual so that we can figure out what's going on. On the other hand, you have the Borg, their technology, but we don't want anything to be a part of them. Why? We don't want to be in a collective where there's one person or one group or entity that's basically controlling every aspect of our lives.
Which that's what this is moving towards.
That's what it is. You're right. Right. It's the technate. That's the word. I mean, you're going to be hearing that word a lot. It's the technate. The idea that everything has to be for the technate. And this is where we're heading. And I don't know if anybody even, I guess people are saying it's not going to harm me. It hasn't harmed me yet. But just the idea, I mean, is it going to be cool to have telepathy or telekinesis in the future? Do you think that'll be cool? I don't know.
I don't know if it's going to be really cool or not. I mean, it's like anything when it's brand new and the flash in the pan aspect of it. Yeah, it's cool for a little while until the next new thing comes along. But what when it turns its ugly head back around and they start controlling you?
Yeah.
Which is the whole game plan, basically. I mean, you
Well, yeah, once they have that chip in you and once they have the ability. I mean, I was reading, oh, my God, and I don't want to get too, graphic here.
Right.
But, and because we do that on Beyond Zero, but we don't do it on the air. They were saying that these devices, let's say, for example, you're constipated, okay?
Right.
These devices will send an alert to you on your phone or on your wrist saying that you're backed up and you may need a laxative. Or have you pooped today? If you haven't pooped today, check with your doctor.
Well.
That's how thorough it is. Or, hey, your lungs showing signs of mucus buildup. You may want to check in with your doctor to find out why you're having a cytokine attack. Things like that. I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's like I've fallen and I can't get up. Those buttons you push have saved lives. Yeah. How many lives would it save to have this computer that knows everything about your body fluids, your body movements, everything, and then it says to you, oh, by the way, you may have cancer. You got to go get a neurochip or a neuro mRNA vaccine to get rid of this cancer. I mean, it's just bizarre.
It's money. It's money, power, and the whole aspect of controlling society for the corporate level evolution.
Yeah, I mean, that you're right. It's our evolution. This is our evolution right here.
Yeah,
I've always said that Darwin doesn't apply anymore because the minute we invented pharmaceuticals, we killed Darwin. Darwin's done. Okay.
Exactly.
He doesn't apply anymore because survival of the fittest is not even applicable because we have drugs now to make you fit. We have drugs now that'll make you lose weight. We have drugs now that'll put you in a position where, and we're going to have AI that's going to put you in a position where you can read minds and you can do superhuman things.
It's sort of a different level of eugenics in a sense, if you think about it at that level.
It's right. It's exactly what it is. It's eugenics.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. I appreciate your call always. He's right, you know. He's right. I mean, how much of your soul are you willing to give to the technique, to the technocracy? I mean, I'm not saying good or bad because, hell, I don't know. I mean, look, when I was a kid, I bought x-ray specs thinking I could look through people's clothes. I'm just saying. Reading minds, that's another thing all entirely. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
mind. Mental telepathy.
What?
I can see things with my mind.
Get out of here.
You want me to prove it to you?
Yeah.
You want me to prove it to you?
Can you read my mind?
I'll never tell. But he still doesn't get it.
Your brain relaxing.
Did you get it?
Yep.
Still
ooh, right now we can see the real thing.
Did you get it?
We can hear the real thing on tape. We can hear the real thing on tape.
Telepathy, kinesis.
503-225-0860. I want all the people out there that are protesting Elon Musk, that are destroying Tesla cars and everything, to wise up and understand why he has the power he has. Because Donald Trump wants to appear to be with it, right? He wants to appear to be enthused about the prospect of technocracy. So you have to understand the full extent of what technocracy is. And, you know, people, I can just tell you now that the people right now that are out there doing their thing, they're doing it for politics rather than doing it for survival. I mean that. I mean, they don't even know half of it. I mean, technocracy is not just what is superficially portrayed to be. It's a deep, dark humanity mutating, society altering intention to change evolution. Go to Lisa from chat. Hey, Lisa, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you.
I'd like to say hey to everyone in the chat, of course.
Sure.
Reason I'm calling is I can understand somebody wanting to take a chip in their body, say, for instance, medical reasons like paralysis,
mm-hmm.
for an example.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as telepathy, and the rest of it, that's my personal opinion. It's very wrong because there's chosen people throughout the world who have what I call these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant for everybody to have, or everyone would already have that.
Right.
From the time that they're born, and it evolves, you know, as you get on in age. So therefore, I disagree with that and being linked up to a system. I mean, just imagine the chaos if people can move things with their mind
mm-hmm.
throughout the world. Just try to imagine all the goings on that might happen.
Well, they have the rudimentary system. I think Air Force pilots have this rudimentary system where they can
right.
look to fire weapons to planes that are coming at them.
Yes.
They just look at the target and the target fires. These are mm-hmm. some things I think that, again, are being developed in the military. But you're right. There are people who have gifts, and if everybody's telepathic, then nobody is. You understand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like I said, there's only a chosen percentage of people throughout the world
yeah.
who have these what I call gifts.
Uh-huh.
And it's not meant for everybody to have, and I think it would bring on a lot of negatives, a lot of negativity, and, you know, just really bad things would happen throughout the world. And I
got to thinking, too, about The Matrix, you know, that movie. You know, Neo was telepathic. He was also telekinetic, and he was able to stop bullets. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, in fact, you won't have to stop bullets in the future, they were saying. Okay, so what does that mean? We'll have the technology and the evolution to basically avoid these problems or to...
Right.
And that's scary. That's a scary responsibility. And I think you're right about that. I think the idea that there are people out there that already accept their gift, they know how to use it responsibly. They don't use it like an evil genius, but some people, if they had the opportunity to read minds or to otherwise be telepathic, I think they would abuse it.
Yes. Yes. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Also, you remember the movie The Green Mile?
Yes.
The man could touch somebody and feel and have visions.
Yes.
And they felt the person he was touching, the current would go through him.
Yes.
That's what I think of. If somebody gets these chips in them and were able to do all this, very, very bad.
I agree.
You know, there's things you just don't mess with. Yep. And this is a big area. You just don't mess with that.
Well, now we know. Now we know why they call it Stargate, Lisa. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Sarah in Rhode Island. Hey, Sarah, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde.
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
So I'm very happy to be on. I'm excited. So I wanted to bring something up. So my son, my middle child, typical middle child, when he's at school, he has some trouble, you know, behavioral issues, you know, keep your hands to yourself, don't call your classmates, such and such.
Uh-huh.
So one thing I taught him recently is your mind is a safe place. You can think whatever you want. You can say, you know what, I'd really like to haul off and just, you know, go ahead and smack him, or he's a big jerk or a swear word. I'm like, no one's going to get you in trouble for what's in your mind. What I was thinking is, if someone's hooked up to that, at what point is there maybe corrective action implemented? Or if you think to yourself, geez, I could just kill this person, at what point are you accused of a crime?
Precog crime. You saw that Minority Report by Philip K. Dick, the idea that they could figure out that you were going to commit a crime before you committed it. And that was a thought crime. Again, thought crime is being utilized right now with things like, hate crime. Hate crime is thought crime. The idea of what were you thinking when you committed the crime? Were you hateful? Did you hate this person? I mean, it's like that. It's just one more thing to add to the imaginary thing. So thought crime would be actually prosecuted more so than the real thing. You're right. The mind would not be a safe place to hide. In fact, they'd be able to do retribution for thoughts I think Harari had said something. Yuval Harari at the World Economic Forum said something about how in North Korea. Yeah, I'll have to find that and get it in the next hour or something. Now, if you were in North Korea 20 years from now and the leader was up there doing his thing and you were clapping, but your mind was saying something else, like he was a dirty, filthy, rotten crook, they'd know it and they'd come and they'd arrest you. That's the kind of thing that they would do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, more control. And then my other question, I didn't mention it before, if you have somebody that say, you know, a crazy, you know, ex person that you want, you know, they wanted to date you or whatever, and you're like, no, I'm not interested. So are they going to send you, you know, thought messages? Can they give you like intrusive thoughts of their own? Mm-hmm. Can you block them?
Well, what about thought crimes in sexual situations?
Right.
Did you intend to rape that person? Were you going to rape that person? Were you going to have sex without consent? I mean, these are things that really get ugly when you're dealing with mind control and mind telepathy and thinking other people's minds. It's just going to be ugly to watch. Sarah, great call. Thank you. Yeah, so you guys are thinking. It's exactly how they're planning this. It's one more step in evolution, part of the technocratic governance, part of the technate. And like I said, learn that word because it's going to be used a lot to describe our evolution in the future. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back to more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Thank you.
Vancouver, British Columbia. Hey, James, you're on Ground Zero.
Yes, good evening. I think that we're going to have to keep Charles Darwin for at least a little while because Darwin is exactly equivalent to the second law of thermodynamics, which involves information and probabilities.
Well, I'm just talking about survival of the fittest is something that is not necessarily applicable today. It certainly isn't.
Are they going to give you those life-saving drugs, Clyde? That's the question.
Well, if they decide to take them back, then no. Then they bring back the survival of the fittest idea, and everybody who doesn't get those life-saving drugs dies. And it's going to get to that point if we can't afford them, right? And that's what scares me is the vulnerability of all this. You know, it's like your fate is in the hands of some drugs you take. Not in my situation, that's it. But, you know, otherwise I could deal without having certain drugs. But in the meantime, I have some drugs that I do have to take. And everybody says, well, you know, you don't really have to take them. I'm going, you're not a doctor, so don't tell me what I have or have not to do. That's the thing is that when you're sick or when you've had cancer, everybody's a doctor. Everybody has something to tell you. Everybody has advice. And you just look at them and say, you know what, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. So,
well, I'm a big fan of Magneto on X-Men 2, so that tells you where I'm at. So,
well, anyway, yeah,
thanks
exactly.
for taking the call.
Appreciate that. Thank you for the call.
Bye now.
Let's go down to James in Iowa. Hey, James, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, great topic.
Thank you.
I'm going to take you down a little bit of a road here. I've had an OpenAI paid account from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a useful novelty, and in my retired years, I do a lot of genealogical research for people, and the paid account actually has access to university databases that the general public doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks ago, I get on to do a little research, and I find that I've got 10 free coupons to use their latest and greatest. And up to now, it was a Google search condensed is basically what it amounted to. Well, I was doing an in-depth genealogy research thing, and the next thing I know, I'm watching it do its steps on my screen. And it says to me that it's searching and reading a certain column from my local newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
This so happens that I wrote that column. I didn't ask that AI anything about that whatsoever. So when it came back to giving me my report, it says I asked it point blank. When you were going through the steps, I saw you were reading columns that I wrote. What was that? I didn't ask you that. Well, it says to me, this is verbatim. Well, when I'm working with someone, I like to get a lot of background on them, and because I want to give you your reports and your tone and tenor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm freaked out because just because I'm asking it questions on genealogy, it's digging into my background how deep. But, you know, your topic tonight, I think, that it's quantum leap level of what's going on. It had, this last go-around, it had a sense of humor.
Right.
You know, I said, thank you, you're developing well. He goes, I'll pass that on to my minions. That was an unsolicited comment from AI.
Right.
And I think we're to the point where we're in an age of many disclosures.
Mm-hmm.
And on your topic tonight, I think everything points that the various compartmentalized things that are being bandied about for disclosure are all trying to elevate us to the skill sets of ET.
You may be right. I like I say, there's this idea that has been passed around by Carl Sagan and others, that we need to work our way up to a certain type of level before we're even considered equal to the aliens and whether or not they'll come and speak to us. So maybe you're right. Hey, maybe we're working our way to that point.
Hey, Clyde, yes. I don't think they can teach that to us. I think it's mechanical, and that's why we're, the neural link is there. If we can move things, well, that's a laundry list of what ET is supposed to be able to do if they exist.
Right.
And all of those things put us more on a level with them. If we can,
what do they? Okay, what do they show us in Star Wars? That the Force will allow you to move things with objects.
That's,
you know,
correct.
Able to read minds. Able to stop laser bolts. I mean, this is the future, man. And whatever has been conceived in the past is now being achieved in the present and the future. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and I can't keep up with the changes in various aspects of life. I'm an old retired guy.
Yeah.
And you know how us old retired guys get. It's just leaving us in the dust.
But well, it's hard to keep up. I can imagine. So, hey, man, thanks for the call. Yeah, it's hard to keep up. It really is. Pat, Nebraska, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, Clyde, this topic of the Stargate when you started and the quantum leap, I seen this new experiment they did with the double slit where they use the emitter and they would just pulse it with the photons one way, one spin, and the next pulse would be the opposite spin, and they would slide a series of slits through there, and it was showing that there were photons from the previous one showing up before the other one had opened because they were moving the slits past it. So basically what I'm trying to get at, this quantum leap, I think it would be much easier to move a conscious mind or the consciousness of a human mind through time or space versus matter. And I think that if you put a Neuralink in somebody's brain and did something similar, you might be able to travel forwards or backwards in time as per se the experiment that they have renewed on the double slit when you use this technique.
Did you notice I was reading about this, and it's really cool you're bringing it up, but did you notice that the twin paradox that they're talking about with the slit? Yeah, the twin paradox theory. I was reading that this morning. I was thinking of doing a show about it, but it was weird because they were saying something to the effect that the past changes too, and this would give credence to the Mandela effect. They were saying, well, yeah, the past changes, and it's the future that's affecting the past. I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. And that's too much that's too much of a mind melt for me, that the future is affecting the past.
It is a mind melt. And if you're using somebody's consciousness or a consciousness to be the recorder, you could have this Neuralink hooked up to a quantum computer and possibly just sit there and run this thing.
Yeah.
And possibly get some info back on
it. Well, that universe doesn't exist unless there's something there to observe it. Right,
but the consciousness would be way easier to move forward and backwards.
That's exactly
than a machine and a human person, you know?
That's exactly right. That's amazing you thought of that, but it's true. Yeah, amazing. Thank you for the call. Again, mind melt. Oh, man. I don't smoke anymore. Time for a smoke. No, that was amazing. Anyway, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
This is the future we are in right now. When our phones are the first thing that we touch when we wake up, the last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. Fall welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
Have some sad news. I was listening to Alex Jones earlier today. He was talking about one of his great writers and reporters, Jamie White. He was murdered outside his home in Texas. Our prayers go out to his family and to the Alex Jones Show. Jamie was one of their best writers, one of their best journalists, and now Jamie's gone. It was reported they murdered outside his home in Texas. There are no suspects, at least so far, that I know of. And they were actually keeping it away from the public for a while, but it's true that Jamie White passed away because he was murdered outside his home in Texas. Very sad for the Alex Jones InfoWars family. And like I say, our prayers go out to his family and to Alex, too, because it's not cool. No, stuff like that happens, and very sad when reporters are killed. I don't know if it was anything he said or anything he reported, but still, it's not good. So back to the show, and the Internet of Bodies, the idea, I mean, look, people are saying, oh, that's so harebrained, Clyde, it's not going to happen, it's a good big leap, but you know what? It's like having a Bluetooth-connected diaper. That's what IOB, Internet of Bodies, is like, okay? It expects you to pay more attention to the diaper notifications on your phone rather than hearing your child's cries or smelling the odor of their distress, if you know what I mean. So it's your diaper basically telling you, oh, by the way, you did number one. Or, by the way, you need number two. Or, I mean, it's the idea of implantable microchips that contain your personal or identification information, wearable health trackers that track your heart rate, sleep patterns, physical data, mental and emotional sensors designed to detect how you're feeling by analyzing your expressions and voice, wearable neuro devices that monitor your brain and stimulate the brain through electrical signals, attention monitoring that tracks your brain activity and eye movement. I mean, yeah, science fiction until you read the patents about telepathy and telekinesis. To be fair, I know there are cases where medical devices and technology can provide important functions for users. Pacemakers, for example, are one such technology. However, they don't fall under the IOB because they don't connect directly to the internet. Instead, they use medical-grade frequencies like 400 megahertz to communicate with an in-house unit, which then connects to a hospital over the internet. Some pacemakers even adjust based on detected activity. All of this happens on the device itself. In extreme cases, brain-computer interfaces can help those who are unable to use their body or communicate through speaking. For example, a prosthetic that is controlled by the mind can improve the lives of amputees. So, I mean, IOB doesn't necessarily have to be bad. And you know, of course, focusing on mind control and everything else is something that we need to know first. I mean, you need to know the side effects before you take the pill, right? But the idea of an emotional sensor that could give you more valuable feedback than listening to your own heart, I think is anti-human. It's anti-human. Here's an example of why I think it's anti-human. One of the biggest anti-human people on the planet is Yuval Noah Harari. And he said that once Internet of Bodies devices become widespread, they can be used as tools of control. Smart enough, he says, to capture your thoughts or feelings and influence how you act. This is what Harari said. He said, just imagine North Korea in 20 years where everybody has to wear a biometric bracelet that constantly monitors your blood pressure, your heart rate, your brain activity 24 hours a day. You listen to the speech on the radio by your leader, and they know what you're actually feeling. You can clap your hands and smile, but if you're angry, and they know you'll be in the gulag tomorrow morning if you're angry and you're not supportive. Now, how close is it? It's not a leap of grandeur here. Apple announced its Apple Health Study, which aims to study pretty much everything about you. The research will be conducted through Apple's research app, which sends participant surveys and collect ongoing data through the biosensors in iPhones, Apple Watches, and AirPods. This is from Apple's blogs. The study spans a number of health and disease areas, including activity, aging, cardiovascular health, circulatory health, cognition, hearing, menstrual health, mental health, metabolic health, mobility health, neurologic health, respiratory health, sleep, and more. So it's not a particular single thing. They have a broad approach. And this is their approach. Gather as much data as possible on this human and what they have neurologically wrong with them, biologically wrong with them. You get the picture. And so they had a screenshot from health data permissions, then shows a wide range of health data to these people. And you don't know who it's going to. And since your Apple products are always with you, data can be collected regularly over a long period of time. And there doesn't need to be an end date as to when they can stop, because you've made the deal to be with them forever. In previous studies with the new technology, the Apple Heart Study in 2019, Stanford Medicine, the Apple Watch measured the heartbeats of 400,000 people to detect irregular heart rhythms. Out of the participants, 0.05% received an irregular heartbeat warning and were offered a free telehealth consultation. Now, they don't say how many people took Apple up on the offer. But heck, if Apple told you need to go to one of their doctors because they detected a problem with your heart, I mean, would you go to the doctor they suggest? I mean, I don't know. It's just that this is the thing. It's a personal thing. And these studies and these contraptions are designed to connect biosensor data and request personal information through questionnaires, and you need to basically give them approval for these research apps. And what do they do with your health data once they're done with it? That's the thing. When it comes to studies like this, we see that Apple has plans for your data. And we're reminded that the goal of the study is vague and nebulous and seems to collect data from all spheres in order to find trends, in order to find things happening to you. Apple is also going to use this data to develop health-related products and improvement activities and issue research findings and related reports to other information sources, maybe even China. They have free rein to study this data in order to improve their biosensors and develop health products. That's what you get with the new technology, man. It's part of the evolutionary process, the technate, the technocracy. 503-225-0860. We've got Christopher Jordan up next. He's the founder and host of Curious Realm. And we'll be back with him right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. Curious Realm, a program that explores interesting and unusual topics related to science, technology, history, and culture. Christopher creates informative and entertaining episodes that delve into various topics such as ancient civilizations, conspiracy theories, and futuristic technologies, interviewing experts and exploring these topics in greater depth. Known for his engaging presentation style, making complex topics accessible to a wide and ranging audience. Curious Realm is the show, and it sheds light on the hard conversations and fringe topics usually skipped over by mainstream media. They believe that within these conversations lies the opportunity to build unity, understanding, and common empathy among people and avoiding them, and are effectively stunting our growth as a human society. Join Christopher as he delves into the deepest realms of human curiosity. And you go to CuriousRealm.com. But I understand you're going to be with us on the Ground Zero feed, aren't you?
Yes, yes. Absolutely. How you doing, Clyde?
Doing good, man. It's good to have you back on board with us. Hey, I was talking about how I love a good Cold War conspiracy theory. And I was talking about Project Stargate. And I remember back in the day, it was all about remote viewing, telekinesis, and telepathy. And I was thinking to myself, okay, so why are they calling the new project Project Stargate? I had listeners saying, Clyde, you got to find the connection. You got to find the connection. And that has been like weeks ago because, what, Trump took office? No, it was months ago because Trump took office in January. And it was the day after that that he announced Project Stargate. And everybody was like going, why are they calling it Stargate? It has something to do with the mind, right? And I'm thinking, I don't know, man. It's just talking about data centers and mRNA vaccines for cancer. Nothing about mind stuff. But now Musk has patented telepathy and telekinesis as a new product that he wants to get started with his company Neuralink. What do you think about this stuff?
You know, when Neuralink first came out, it was groundbreaking. When you're talking about the idea of a paralyzed person being able to function, use a computer the same way the average person does, things like that. Amazing. Some of the weird things that come about, though, Clyde, when you look at these brain implants, stuff like that, one of the big examples I talk about was the study that was done at UC Berkeley with the patients. They all had the same brain implant that was put into their brain to help control seizure disorders, things like that. But they were able to let them listen to a Pink Floyd song.
Yeah.
And record their brainwaves and actively reassemble the song from their memories. So and that's just something that's used to help control your seizures.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total byproduct of this device's use. You know, so when you're talking something like the new patents that Musk just put out, where Neuralink will be able to control programs, will be able to control devices, things like that. The one thing that you do have to consider is the crosstalk capability, you know, the capability of being able to also put information into your mind.
Mm-hmm. I would say that what they're talking about here is, like I said, it's like having a mental diaper that you will be told, you know, what to do, how to do it. People won't even have to think anymore. They'll have machines thinking for them. That's part of an evolutionary process I don't want to have happen, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. And you know, we already – I don't think most people, sadly – Clyde, understand how regularly they interact with an AI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to regular services, things like that, even when it comes to the ads that are served to you, you know, those are all predictive AI algorithms that go off of your cookies, your browsing, what you're typically looking at that time of day, how long you're looking at it, things like that. So AI goes everywhere from what ads pop up in your Facebook feed to, you know, what we're doing with genetic therapies. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, yeah, genetic therapies are something that, you know, I would benefit from. I think a lot of people would benefit from genetic therapy.
Sure.
Especially if they have certain mutations that need to be changed. But, you know, they didn't tell us when they were talking about Stargate, they didn't give us the full story. They were giving us this idea that, you know, they're going to cure cancer. They were giving us this idea that, you know, they were going to have data centers to collect the data on human DNA and everything else. And I'm thinking, well, that's just, you know, typical. But now the truth comes out. This is another ploy for the technocracy to control the minds and to control the souls of human beings.
And at the very least, to be able to hack a back door into it.
Hack a back door? Yeah, going in the back door?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, you know, once again, these things have all become very normalized to us, Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
They become normalized in a very, very rapid fashion.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the slow roil that computers were from 1979 to 1999.
Right.
You look at the gap in just the last 5-6 years of the technology and the rapid change, and it's a windfall. You know, so the normalization of these things, the rapidity with which it comes through, most people don't even realize that they do not have an actual legal definition of digital identity in the United States, which is why your metadata and why your private data and things like that are allowed to be sold on the open market.
I think I have the a small recording of another brick in the wall that you were talking about, where minds were reconstructing it from memory.
Yeah.
I want to play some of that. Yeah. This is an interesting thing.
Let's go ahead.
Here we go.
It's wild.
Just a brick in the wall.
And then the
Okay, no, this is reconstructed here. This is it. Yeah, there you go. That was the first one was the real song. The second one was the reconstruction one.
And that is once again eerie from a technology that is not even made to do that. Not even made to do that. It was a total fluke, total concept. Let's see if it can happen. So when you're talking about a dedicated technology that is there to connect your brainwaves to devices, that is there to control a program. You could Trojan horse somebody's brain at that point with wetware, no different than Trojan horsing a computer by saying, click this ad.
Well, that's the point, right? Because they want everybody to be able to, I mean, it's like, it's not enough to just have people have telepathy and telekinesis. It's to understand why they're using it and who they're using it on, what they can do to read minds, what they can, that you can do to read others' minds. It's like, it's going to, why would anybody want to read the minds of anyone else is beyond me? Unless it's for power reasons.
Well, and, you know, there have even been the technologies out there of being able to communicate with dreamers during their dreams.
Yep.
Being able to possibly serve up advertising in your dreams. Could you imagine just getting a KFC ad?
Yeah,
getting an ad
in the middle of your dream. I could see that. I could see that happening, and you know, or having it during a daydream or a waking moment or what have you. Yeah, I can see that happening, and that would be another violation of your cognitive liberty if they were able to infiltrate your mind with these fleeting thoughts. And there could be another fleeting thought they could put in your mind too, like take the gun, bite down on it, and pull the trigger.
That's just it. It's a dangerous precipice that we stand on regularly with this stuff. And the idea is that we are advancing so fast. How do we regulate it? How do we regulate
it? We need to be aware of it. I don't think people are. Christopher Jordan with us tonight on Ground Zero. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. If you want to call in tonight, talk about this new technology, this Stargate technology. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind?
Tomorrow, shining at the end of every day.
there's a great big beautiful tomorrow. And tomorrow is
what do you want?
Your blood.
Jill, this is Sergeant Sacker. We've traced a call. It's coming from inside the house. Jill, just get out of that house.
I would love to put one in my kids. Put one in my kids. Put one in my kids. My kids. My kids. My kids. And I honestly am not completely against shipping my children.
No.
My favorite number is 666.
Bert, nobody's favorite number is 666.
It means the good something.
How much private information can you put in these chips?
The applications are unlimited. In the future, we'll be able to track children, the elderly, criminals, immigrants.
Welcome to the New World Order.
On the cutting edge, we were interested today to hear that more than 100 law enforcement officials in Mexico are having microchips implanted in their arms. The chips allow a person to be scanned, sort of like a cereal box at the supermarket checkout.
A new world order can emerge.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. Christopher Jordan with us tonight, Curious Realm. And we're discussing these new, I guess, Project Stargate patents of telekinesis and telepathy. I mean, it's like now we're figuring out what the true purpose of Stargate is. We knew this Stargate in the beginning was a remote viewing, telekinetic, telepathic type of experiment. Now we're looking at reading minds and other things, visualizing thoughts, sensors playing a role in developing a brain-computer interface, computer controlling your brain. I mean, it's not enough that they're going to be able to help you with your health. They just want everything about you to be known. And a lot of information is already out there being tracked. And brain-directed technology is coming. And it's going to be packaged as a way to improve your mental health or have a direct connection between your mind and your technology. And I don't think people realize just how important this is. And I don't think people realize, actually, Christopher, what the technocracy means and what the technate is meaning and what's being established. I mean, do you do shows that deal with that sort of thing sometimes? Christopher, are you there? Christopher, we've lost Christopher. Okay. Is anybody going to react to that? All right, we'll just move on then. Get Christopher back.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead. What's going on? Is there a problem? Okay. Somebody please re-screen Christopher or something because it doesn't seem to be working. His phone's having a technical problem. And I just want to know if anybody's taking care of that. Okay. Let's see. Getting back on track, I was talking about the Apple data that is being taken in, and you know it can be used for a lot of reasons. It can be sent to law enforcement. It can be sent to third parties, such as subpoena, litigation,
hello?
Court order. Hello?
Yes.
All right, you there now?
Yes, I am.
All right, what happened? Something happened to the phone.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. All right. I'm just wondering. I was just wondering if you talk about the technocracy or what it entails, the technate, what it entails on your program, because I think the word needs to get out of the technocracy is not some novelty. It's going to be very serious, and it's going to be part of our evolutionary process.
Yeah, and it's once again part of what they want to be part of our daily life. You know, they want us to see it as, once again, our friend, everything else. That's why it's presented in every facet of our life. why AI is even presented in every facet of our life. And yes, we do talk about targeting technologies, specifically technologies that target your brain, target your brain waves, things like that. Even the latest rung of patents for Apple AirPods have EEG capability.
Yeah, right.
And to be able to read your brain waves, things like that. So once again, the idea that that's being normalized.
Do you think technology should break the brain barrier, or do you think we should keep the brain barrier off limits to technology?
You know, we broke the brain barrier when we broke the cooling response back in the late 70s, early 80s with home computing, Clyde. And that was really the idea that if a device does not respond to you within 30 milliseconds or so, you start banging the mouse. You know, you start getting impatient and eventually want to not use that device. So once they broke that barrier with speed and reliability, they had people literally addicted to using machines. And that was literally their thought form, was the idea that if we can get them addicted to using the machines, then that's all that they'll want to use.
Because I wonder if people, like, for example, this Apple Health study they were doing, I wonder if people really understand just what is going on with that. Did they maybe having their health and personal information shared with government and health agencies? I really don't think they know that. It's like back when 23andMe came out, I was telling people, hey, beware of 23andMe because you never know where that spit is going. It's going into databases all over China. And then they sold it to the highest bidder of the big pharmacy companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just it. You know, your data is available to the highest bidder. I mean, good Edward Snowden is still living in Russia for letting us know the data that they were gathering on every single one of us on the regular.
Right.
Much less your health data, things like that. I remember the first time that I saw this kind of technology really being leveraged. Bank of America was looking at using iris scanning cameras in their ATMs.
Right.
Like National Bank of Qatar was doing. And I was like, imagine the possibility if you go up after a few drinks at the bar, you know, you're going to go out and do something else. And the machine's like, sorry, this is irresponsible spending. You appear to be drunk.
Yeah. And so they'll stop you from using your money.
By the dilation of your pupils, we don't think you're responsibly spending your money at 2 a.m. anymore.
Oh, you can't. I'm, you're right. Can you imagine going to a party? Okay. Going to a party, you're drinking and maybe smoking a little weed or something, and all of a sudden there's this alarm that hits your hand and it buzzes your hand. You're looking at it and it says, "Don't you even think of getting into a car right now," or says, "Hey, if you get into a car, we know exactly where you are. We know what you're doing. Yep. We'll have a police officer there to take you right to jail."
Yeah, we already have your blood alcohol content because any camera that could be looking at your eye could also be shooting an infrared laser at your eye and absolutely reading the oxygen content of your blood, getting your pulse.
I mean, it was simple back in the day where I was talking about things like, you know, those club cards at like Safeway or the store. Yeah. You know, you get a club card, and every time you go in, you use the club card, they bring down the price of the groceries. What people don't know is they sell that information to other companies. And so, for example, let's say that you have an insurance policy that's a no-smoking insurance policy. They track the fact that you bought a carton of Marlboro, you lose your insurance policy. Even if you're buying it for mom or dad or someone else, doesn't matter. Christopher, we'll be right back right here on Ground Zero. Christopher Jordan with us tonight. We're going to get to the phones coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away. 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Robert Jordan is the host. He's with us tonight on Ground Zero. We're going to go to the calls, 503-225-0860. Let's go to Josh in Florida. Hey, Josh, you're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Clark?
Hi.
I'm glad you got the new site back up. And shout out to chat. I'm not in there now, but it seems like your chat's bigger than it's ever been.
It's huge, yes. We have a lot of people in there, up to 100 sometimes, yes. So thank you.
Yep. I wrote a book last year. I sent your studio a couple of copies, but I talk about the evolution of bots and botnets and how we're now getting into the realm of quantum botnets that could basically break encryption, send out deep fakes, denial of service attacks in an instant globally. And I also, in the book, I state that I think the only way to combat this is to have everything open source. When you look at things like Linux, Apache, even Mozilla.
Well, wouldn't that mean that everybody else can use it, though?
That's the only way to make it an equal playing field. Give the people all the code. Let us dissect it. We could see where all the...
Are you talking about including what we're talking about with telepathy and with telekinesis?
Yeah,
you want everybody to have access to that. Is that what you're saying?
Everything has to be open source.
Isn't that dangerous? Isn't that dangerous?
Well, if it's going to be out anyway and it's not open source, then you're going to have the puppeteers.
Now I'm confused. I don't know if I want the puppeteers to have it, those who are in Silicon Valley to have it, or have everybody else having it. That's the thing. I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm talking about rogue renegade people that want to basically read my mind.
Well, that's the only way to create an equal playing field. The reason why a nuclear nation doesn't get attacked is because they have nukes.
Interesting. My God. I never even thought of this. You've stumped me tonight.
It's the only way to make an equal playing field. And like even right now, if you're not using AI or ChatGPT to even write your emails in a corporate setting, you're falling behind.
I know that. I got a lot of things in my secret little bag here that you're right about that I've seen in corporate America right now, especially in the radio business, where AI is something that, if you're not using it for corporatized writing or sending out things, you're falling behind. Christopher, what are your thoughts on that? This is an amazing call. I'm really blown away by that.
You know, there is something really to the even. There's even decentralized social media now. You go to things like Flipboard, stuff like that. Like there, you can go there and opt out of ads. You can opt out of sharing your private information with them and letting them make money off sharing your private information.
Jeez.
So, and even here recently, it was huge in the AV industry. The man who invented VLC Media Player was offered millions of dollars and turned it down and said, no, VLC needs to be kept open source.
Wow. So
that's another big one.
Josh,
you know,
there's nothing better than a call that has me like going to be up all night thinking about this. This is great stuff, man.
Did you get my book? I sent it to your studio.
What was the book? Maybe I can get Ron to throw it at me.
It was called Shadows of Digital Traffic, and it talks about all this.
I think it's around here. I'll have to read it. That'll be good. I appreciate this. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it really does. Whenever you've got it open source like that, basically what happens is things are not hidden behind the firewall where the average person can't see them, can't access them.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. I'm sorry I'm keeping this call long because it's a good call. We're dealing with company secrets here, too.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
I mean, what about that, Josh? I mean, come on.
When Eternal Blue got leaked from the NSA hacking tools, and that became available, yes, we had hackers and people exploit that, but that's the only way to mitigate the defense is knowing you got to know your enemy. So, if everybody has the code, trust me, open source is the only way because the communities go in and we keep it and we, like, look at Linux. Linux is been open source and it basically runs every server and protocol out there.
I must say I'm pretty damn happy to have a genius like you listening to my show because now I have a lot to think about.
You're the genius.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. But no, really. I'm happy you called because now I got a whole new way of looking into stuff. Thank you so much. Let's go to Greg in Tennessee. You're on with Christopher Jordan. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Lewis. Always a pleasure.
Good to talk to you.
Heck yeah. So what I'm thinking here, we're going to think outside the box for a minute again.
Okay.
Is video games and violence. And then you also got some really whack, you know, movies out now that, and it draws the crowds, you know?
Yeah.
But the subliminal messages would be, you know, kill, kill, kill. You know what I mean? So basically, maybe the government has taken that and say, hey, if we can make super soldiers, because they know where China's position is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they would be able to.
I would say they're already doing it, wouldn't you? I mean, I know where you're going here.
Well, but yeah, I mean, you know, you got the school shootings that happen
right.
all the time. You got public shootings.
Right.
It's like the subliminal message, you know, if they're not working for that certain party and they're a rogue.
I don't know. You know, here's the thing, too. I don't know if they really use subliminal messages. It's not that clandestine anymore. It's in your face, wouldn't you say? I mean, you're looking at what? A kid. Let's say, for example, we take a group of kids. We put them in a room. We drug them up with, something similar to LSD. We have them playing video games. And then they get to that point. I mean, I know that DARPA's done this because I interviewed somebody that said he was involved with this. You get them to play video games, and they get to the point where they cannot distinguish between reality and the game, and then they're given a gun and they're saying, okay, just do like you were trained. Go in here, and there are blanks. But no, there aren't blanks. There are real bullets and real things, and they go in and they start shooting up a school.
Well, dig this for a minute.
Okay.
So, you know, the guy that shot the CEO over there in New York?
Yeah, Mangione.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe he was playing a whole lot of Assassin's Creed with like a little bit of it, you know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's like, you know, that. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I've seen is very strategic.
Well, here's something that'll prove your point. You ready? Because I got to go to another call. Yeah. You're very brilliant. Okay, here's how to prove your point. People who play Grand Theft Auto apparently have this problem with hitting their accelerator before they're supposed to.
You read my mind because I was going to bring that up. That's perfect. That's telekinesis.
I'm glad we both know that information. It's an urban legend. We're both pretty much into reading geeky things. But, yes, that's exactly right. It's great.
Hey, we agreed to agree this time.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, just funny. Yeah, good
this
job.
This is a great show, man.
Thank you. Great call. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John in Utah. Hey, John, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, anybody in the know is using Linux, and they understand Linux, and they understand code, and you can clearly see we're beyond the point of redemption. And at this point, we have nothing to do but complain how bad we got checkmated.
Wow, that's a very dark way of thinking about it, but I can see where you're saying, what you're saying is true. It's true.
There will be rogues. Things that will happen, but it's only up to rogue now.
Well, man, thank you for the call. That's a great call, too. We had a lot of great calls tonight, Christopher. Hey, where do we find Curious Realm?
You can listen to Curious Realm live on the internet every Tuesday night, and you can also find it every Friday night at 7 p.m. just before Clyde Lewis on the Ground Zero Media Network.
GroundZeroPlus.com. Let's go to GroundZeroPlus.com. That's where you'll find that show, Curious Realm with Christopher Jordan. Remember, guys, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it at Ground Zero. Good night.